Backstage with Mothership on Solid Rock Radio begins now. Hear the best in new music, artist interviews, stories from the road, and more. You are now backstage, and here's your host, Mothership.
Hey, everybody. Rebecca Sugg has a lot going on. Most of you know her as the vocalist of Reclaim the Day. She and the band have an exciting year coming up, so we're going to talk about it.
Hi, Rebecca Sugg of Reclaim the Day. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Great. I haven't seen you since KCF last year, I think.
Yeah, I think that is the last time. I feel like I've seen you since then, but it's just probably just been on like social media and stuff like that.
Yeah, but it's almost like being in person, right?
Right. These days.
Exactly. Before we talk about new stuff, let's talk about Reclaim the Day and who you are, Becca Sugg.
Yeah, it's funny that you say who you are, because that's actually, we have a song called that. But Reclaim the Day was founded in 2019 by me and my husband. We started as a ministry together, and at first it wasn't going to be like me being the vocals, actually, but it was like one of those things where God had other plans. Eventually Logan came around, and then Tristan a couple of years later, and really we had this mission, and really the name came along because we were going through a time in our lives, my husband and I were, where we were just going through a lot of depression and a lot of mental stuff going on, and we had a mentor in our life that was basically like, you know, you have the power through Jesus Christ to reclaim your day from anything. And that really stuck with us for a name. And so we were just like, okay, Reclaim the Day. There it is. There it is. That's the name. And so that's really where the name came from. And then we have like, probably the most solid lineup that we have right now, that a group of guys just, really just after God, they're really dedicated, and we love them very, very much.
So give us a quick rundown of members.
I'm Becca Sugg. I'm the lead vocalist. My husband, Marcus Sugg, is the lead guitarist. He's also called Trey. So if you ever hear him called Trey, that's his nickname. But Logan Morehouse is our bassist. And then Tristan, the guy, Harris, is our drummer. So.
Okay. So how did you pull this lineup together? Did you already know each other?
No, actually, it was kind of strange. So I've been doing music for over a decade. I've been in probably about 7 different bands, I think I've been counting at this point. So doing music professionally for a while. And then my husband happened to come join from Arkansas on one of those bands. And he joined that band. And from there, we just kind of went to other bands. And then during the band that we were in before, we had gotten married, and then started Reclaim the Day. But after that, you know, I was looking for a bassist, and I had found a post that Logan had made about a new guitar that he had bought. And I wasn't sure. I think it was actually, I know he has one of the Disciple guitars, but I don't know if that was the particular one, but he was posting about it. Something just nudged me one day, and I just messaged him, and I was like, hey, dude, do you play bass? You want to try out for a band? And he did. And ever since then, we've had him with us. And Tristan, ironically, came in last year before we went on tour, about a few months. And he started out as a fill-in, but Logan actually found him at a bowling alley. I say that like he's like almost like a homeless man. No, but they were actually bowling, okay?
He wasn't out back by the dumpster.
Well, as far as I know, you never know. You never know with Tristan. They had one moment in passing where Tristan was like, I like your shirt. He was like, I think he was wearing a Fit for a King shirt or something like that. And he's like, yeah. And they're like, maybe we should get together. I play drums. We should jam. And, you know, so something about starting a band. He's like, yeah, I have a band of my own. It's RTD. And they just got connected. And for months, I was like, all right, let's talk to this guy. Let's see it. And I have to have him try out. And then we came have him audition, and he filled in for us, and then we were like, all right, you got the job, buddy. Like, so it was really cool how that God really made that moment come together, because they're both from Lafayette, and both of my husband are in Greenwood, so we just was like, it just kind of worked out pretty well, so.
Well, how long has the band been a band?
Since 2019, we have been together, so not too long. It feels
like
a baby
band.
Yeah, it feels longer just because I've been doing this since, like, 2012, 2011. I've been through my fair share of bands. You know, yeah, Reclaim the Day has definitely been here just like a baby band. in that time frame, it's surprisingly grown, and I give all that glory to God. I have not seen that much growth in any of the bands that I've been in, and it has been a huge blessing.
What did you do in the other bands?
So my very first band, I played rhythm guitar and did backup singing. My very first, I guess if you want to call it professional band, that I actually started touring in, I was a lead vocalist. And then from there on, I just did backing vocals and guitar for the majority of the rest of the bands that I did. And I didn't want to do lead vocals for RTD. In fact, like I was like trying to push my husband to try to do this. And I was like, yeah, babe, you got it. I don't want to do it. He's like, I just want to play guitar. And I prayed about it one day and God was like, I didn't call you to sing for them. I called you to sing for me. I was like, all right. I can't argue with that, but I'm getting vocal lessons. You know, I already went through this once and I'm going to get better at it and hone my craft. And so I did.
Is that how you got to know Zana?
That is. That is exactly how I got to know. After ghosting her for about 3 months. But yes, that is a very interesting story.
Well, I want to hear it then.
So it was kind of funny. After that prayer, I was like, God, I'm going to get vocal lessons. I'm going to really get better and hone my crafts. That is when she actually posted about offering vocal lessons. I saw it and I was like, okay, all right, I see you. And I reached out to her and emailed her and everything like that. And I was going to start it up. And then I ghosted her for 3 months and never followed through. And then I saw her in person at KCF. I think it was like 2020, I think it was 2021 or whatever. Came up to the merch table. I walked up to her and I was like, I don't know if you remember me, but I was that person that, you know, messaged you. And then I totally never got back to you. She's like, yeah, I do. You going to do it?
So that point, just like her.
Yeah. At that point, it was like, okay, we did it. And I'm glad I did. And then, you know, our sessions turned from 1 hour vocal lessons to 3 hour talk sessions.
I was going to say, you guys, I can tell y'all have a pretty tight friendship.
Yes. We definitely do. I've definitely grown. I consider her my best friend, but whether or not she thinks that of me, you know, you'll have to ask her.
Let's call her.
You just call her right now. She'll probably
Let's
pick
call
up
her.
For you.
Let's see.
Honestly, she'll probably pick up for you.
I don't know if that's the best thing to do in the middle of somebody else's interview.
You know what? You're good to do whatever. You're driving this interview.
Don't want to drive it in a ditch. But anyway, so y'all got together. And so how long have you been taking vocal lessons with her? Or did that just devolve into friendship and y'all don't do vocal lessons anymore?
So
what is that evolving? Is it evolving or devolving?
It's a mixture. It's hard to tell. Sometimes I'm like, hey, dude, I need to meet up for a lesson. I'm struggling with something. And like the last time we had a lesson was like maybe a couple months ago. And then it was calling me out on like the most stupidest thing that I probably already should have known. So I need to do it like actively because I teach vocal lessons too. And that is actually my main job. I teach music lessons like bass, vocals, guitar and stuff like that. You know, anytime, sometimes it's actually quite funny, like talking to her on a normal basis. I'm like, okay, whatever. But if I get into a vocal lesson with her, I get really nervous because it's like one vocal coach judging another vocal coach. You know what I mean? Like, it's kind of weird now at this point, you know, but, no, I know she's better than me. So it's all good. I'm always like, if people always need people like I need a vocal coach. I'm like, go to her, not me, go to her.
What's your biggest takeaway from your vocal learning from her?
I honestly think it was confidence for me. There was a lot of things that I took from her. You can hear it's a night and day difference from listening to Who You Are and to Sentenced to Life. Like, with her help, it brought Sentenced to Life actually to life. And her vocal coaching really, really helped that. But as far as that goes, you know, I didn't really have a lot of confidence. You know, in my first band that I did lead vocals with, I had a lot of bad experience with that. You know, even some of my own producers pretty much kind of was like, hey, you're not going to get anywhere. Your vocalist sucks. Like, And it was like one of those things where, you know, even your bandmates were like, yeah, not very good. You should just play bass or something like that. And yeah, granted, my screams were good, but like my cleans were not the greatest, which is why I came to Zuzi to begin with, because my screams I was pretty confident in. But it was just like one of those things where, you know, and then we had like 1 hour session and she was just like, hey, believe in yourself. Like you should do, you can do this. Like use the fire that from what people told you in the past and make yourself better. And that was something that really stuck with me. And since then, like I've even been able to teach my students the same thing and it has made night and day difference for them too. So like what she has taught me is changing other people's lives, which is really dope.
Nice. When did you learn to play a guitar?
That was actually my first love. So, I don't even remember the year. Back in middle school, I actually am a big classic rock fan. So I watched a Heart concert on TV one day. They're the ones that inspired me to play music to begin with.
Love Heart. So good.
Yeah, I saw Nancy Wilson and I was like, oh, wow. Like she can play. Like that's awesome. I want to play like that. And so I just was like, told my dad, I was like, I want a guitar. I want to be able to play. And he's like, okay, you stick with it. So I got a guitar and just learned from there. And my first song that I actually learned on guitar was Stairway to Heaven, ironically. But
I think that was a lot of people's first song.
Yeah.
At least in my high school years, it was because it was freshly out at that time.
Yeah. But since then, over the years, I've taught myself. I maybe took a few lessons here and there at Sweetwater, but just for some lead stuff. But overall, like, I've been playing guitar. I mean, I grew up singing with a musical family. Like, I grew up singing harmonies and things like that, but it wasn't my main focus. Guitar was always my first love. And that was like the main thing that I did. I don't play it much for Reclaim the Day because I'm focusing on more of my vocals, but I get to be able to play for other bands, guitar and bass and stuff like that. So I get it out for them to fill in, which is nice. So
what was the first song that Reclaim the Day released?
So our first song was a song called Who You Are. That was produced by Josiah Prince from Disciple. It was all the songs that we really go in are very personal to us, but this one was written while I was in our old band still. And so it started off as actually like a worship song, more softer. And then we were like, okay, I talked to Josiah. I was like, hey, you know, he's like, do you want to do this heavier? And they're like, yeah, sure. Let's see what we can do with it. And he just comes out with this nasty riff on the bridge. And then we're just like, okay, all right, I see where this is going. And so we just kind of worked on redesigning, rewriting the song a little bit. And it really came out to be a heavier worship song, which I really love the song to this day. It's actually my favorite song to play live. So it went from there. It went to Sentence to Life and then the rest of the EP.
So how many songs does Reclaim the Day have?
Ooh, I have to count. So
should count. Okay.
Yeah, I need to like free up my hands and toes and stuff like that. No, we only have 6 songs released. It feels like a lot more because we have a lot more written.
You always write more than you release, right?
Yeah. Well, recording's expensive.
Yeah.
To be fair. We're in the midst of even writing more songs because the goal is to come out next with a nice full-length album. So nice. That's why we've been really working a lot behind the scenes this year.
We're getting ready to talk about that new album, but first, you did a song with Zana, Chokehold. I forgot to mention that when we were talking about her earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah. So we were doing the vocal lessons and, you know, I was like, I really want to be able to do a song that's a heavy hitter that's going to feature a female screamer as well. I was like, you know what? I'm going to see if Z wants to do it. And I asked her and she's like, yeah, sure. And then I was like, hey, let's do a music video. Yeah, sure. So I believe we filmed in Franklin, Tennessee to do this. And it was like some place in the woods. Actually, the video is supposed to be really like cheesy horror. The actual location was scarier than the actual video itself, lot of creepy things on that land that we found that night. Like a kid's shoe just randomly in the woods somewhere. Like, why was this here? Like a animal skull. You're just like, what is going on here on this land? So, but it was a lot of fun. It was just the writing process. That song was like, we based it off of Logan's testimony, but it was like a three-way between me and Andrew Stanton and Susie lyrics, and my husband did a lot of the musical writing, and then Logan sat in because, you know, his testimony was the inspiration. So we really had a full team working on that song, and it really came out very well, and we loved every minute of it, and so we're blessed to have that one. And people keep it like, hey, are you guys gonna do another song together? And I'm like, I don't know. You know what? She's pretty busy. I'm pretty busy. We'll see.
Well, what is that song about for somebody that may not have heard it yet?
Yeah. So Chokehold's, like I said, it's based off of Logan's testimony. Logan, our bassist, a lot of his life, he struggled with social anxiety. And so it's really about, you know, his feeling of actually feeling like he's in a chokehold. Like he couldn't speak out. He couldn't talk because of that social anxiety, you know, and it can really be relatable to a lot of different things, because it kind of actually leads into our song Say Goodbye a little bit too, which I can talk about that a little bit later. But, you know, for me and my personal, how it reached out to me was because when I had depression, when I have, you know, my anxiety and stuff, the last thing I want to do is reach out for help or talk to somebody about it. I want to take it on myself. And I want to just be like, I'm the strong one. I can do it. You know, and all the devil wants to do is like keep us in that chokehold. And then it even relates to, you know, speaking out about our faith, even especially in this day and age. So some people are just so terrified of talking about God because of how horrible and divisive the world is at this point. And so, you know, this song talks about shattering that chokehold so we can speak out about our problems. We can speak about what we're dealing with. We can speak about our faith, and just a plethora of things. Like, really, ultimately, that's what that song is about. And the video kind of pertains to that demon. You know, it definitely was a fun, cheesy video, but for me, on a personal level, that scenario almost kind of did really happen in real life. Not with the demon, but, you know, like, I actually did, you know, if you follow along with the texting scenario with me and Z, I actually was coming back from a trip in Nashville on my own, and I was dealing with a depressive state. And I was actually texting her at that point, and I had to stay at a hotel that night by myself. And I was texting her, telling her, like, all right, I'm dealing with this, but I'm not going to be open about it. And then the next morning, because I didn't respond, she calls me. And it's like having those friends there that actually check in on you and actually make sure that you're okay. And so in that video, she comes to help me, and we take down the monster together, which is just a testimony of, you know, it's okay to ask for help. It's okay to reach out for help in your mental state and in your personal struggle. So
have you been able to talk to people who that song has meant something to them? Or have you got a story that you'd like to share?
Absolutely. Because I talk about mental health a lot. It's one of my biggest things that I talk about. So I mean, you know, there were times, especially in my past, I wrote actually in my solo project, there's a song called Give Me Faith. It was written about a time where I almost like, I asked God to even kill me because I had no worth left. And I just felt like I was going to kill myself. It's like, God, you better, God, give me faith because I can't do this anymore. Like I'm not, there's no worth left. I just kind of would talk to people and talk about this on stage, and I'd have people come up and like in tears after shows and stuff like that, and you know, ask for prayer. And those are the moments that really, like, when it gets hard in music, and when it gets really tough, and money's tight, and touring and stressful, everything. Those are the moments that mean the most to me, because I literally have these fans that, you know, come up and ask for prayer. And that's when I know that the testimony and the music that we're writing that God has given us really reaches out to those people. You know, I had it at Pit Fest last year, when we were on tour with Zana last year, or did a couple shows, a run with her. I had that experience too in Arkansas. Just a lot of different times, where I was able to just minister to people, after, you know, just opening up about my testimony. And people, there are people out there that are struggling with their mental health. And it's a very important thing to talk about, because we've been losing people, even in the Christian industry right now, to mental health. And it is important things. So that's a message to talk about.
I agree. I think it's greatly needed right now. Well, you've been teasing on social media about some new stuff coming up. Time to spill the beans and tell us what's happening.
Yeah. So on June 9th, we are going to be releasing our new music video for Say Goodbye. The song is already out, but actually we were re-releasing it for the music video to celebrate it. Pushing it back out there. It is a really personal song for us. But we're also going to be releasing our Patreon as well. So a lot of cool things coming in the works. I mean, we've been working a lot behind the scenes to make sure that we still are putting out the content and doing the stuff that we, you know, for you guys. We had a really awesome team working on this video that the video just turned out great. Of course, Acceleration Media does a great job on everything. So
they do.
We traveled all the way to Dallas to film this, and it was an incredible time, always with them, because they did Chokehold's video too. But, you know, I always love working with Adrian and Jake, and I know you've worked with them before too.
Yeah, they did the Grizzly Awards for us. They always do a great job.
Yeah. I saw that this year. I saw that. The song is definitely one of our angrier songs, and it was actually co-written with Zana as well. Even though she's not on it, but she had a hand in it. She had a hand in the video as well, or at least she did my makeup. But it's definitely personal for a lot of things that are going on with the division, not just in the world, but in the industry itself, because there is stuff that happens behind the scenes that people don't see. And so it's just kind of talking about the story behind that. So
one of the things that really caught me was, wipe away your foolish pride. You think you're actually holy inside. I was like, ooh. Stirring it up.
Yeah. That's honestly, that line specifically, the whole, you think you're actually holy inside, came from an experience, because this song really goes with a lot of different experiences, but it's mainly based off of one experience. But that line particularly was from a experience with a person who, unfortunately held their gifts over people and made themselves look better. Than or thought they were better than everybody because of the gifts that they received from God. And, you know, for me, like, that was just like, none of us are better than anybody. We are all equal in God's eyes. And when somebody makes me feel terrible just because I'm struggling, that's not okay. Like, it's like, you're not better than anybody. The way that I look at things is like, and biblically, you know, looking at yourself lower than everybody to stay humble. You know, and I, even going up on stage, I don't deserve to go up and take that mic. I don't deserve to go up and talk, but God gave me that ability and God gave me that, position to be able to be a part of Reclaim the Day. So I'm blessed and I'm humbled that I'm able to do that much. So to just have somebody that's like, I got all these gifts and I know more than you and I know better than you. And it's like, come on. What are you talking about? Like, but I mean, that's just, there's just a lot of things that I've experienced with that. It's just a very common trait nowadays. People use manipulation and, you know, power to control other people. And that's really what this song really resonates. My husband and I dealt with a time in our life where we were dealing with people that were doing manipulation tactics. They were lying. They were doing everything that they could to, you know, just basically make themselves feel better, hold the power over your head. And it turned out to be more of an abusive situation, a mentally abusive situation. So for that matter, that's what this song really came from. Because, you know, you have to draw that line. You have to say goodbye to that toxicity. You need to get out of there. You have that control. You don't have to stand for that anymore. And so it's really our anthem to say, like, for all those people that listen to the song that have witnessed abuse, any type of abuse, any type of manipulation, any type of people that have said, I'm better than you, you know, and held it over your head, or I have control over you. Okay. That kind of stuff, you know, this is their anthem to say, I'm saying goodbye. I'm drawing my line and, you know, I'm moving on with my life and to follow what God has gotten for me, you know? So that's really what this song is about. Like I said, it's definitely an angrier song. You'll see in the video when it comes out, I look angrier than normal, but I'm actually a big teddy bear, like in person. So don't let that fool you.
It's your acting ability.
I know. Right? Or lack thereof. Oh, no.
So we got the re-release of the single, Say Goodbye. We have the video that's going to be a concept video for Say Goodbye.
Oh, yeah. The Patreon.
Yeah, okay. Patreon's going to be releasing. I'm hoping to release it actually a week beforehand. And what the goal is for people that sign up for the Patreon a week beforehand, they will get a pre-screening of the video, a private screening. So for patrons, that is my goal. But kind of stay tuned. We're going to be making that announcement soon. And when this kind of airs, it'll probably already be made, but still.
Yeah. Watch the socials. We don't want to miss that. All right. Is there anything else we need to talk about tonight?
Not that I can think of. I mean, there is KCF.
We're going to see each other at KCF. You got any other festivals?
I mean, you'll see me out playing with Zana this year. RTD has like a slow year this year because we've just got a lot of stuff behind the scenes going on more than that. And we're preparing for the future. But I'm doing a lot more stuff. Like my husband and I, we're filling in a lot for Zana on these summer shows, summer festivals. So even at KCF, Life Fest, Audio Feed, all the stuff. So we'll be there playing for her. I'll be rocking out some bass and whatnot and bugging her as much as I can. That's going on. So if you are at any of those festivals seeing Zana, you'll see me, sadly. So.
What happened to all that confidence?
I know, right? The confidence. I told you, I'm a bad actor, right? I try to be a comedian, but, you know, it doesn't work
out. You are funny.
Usually I talk forever, and it's like, I am one of those people that are like, literally my bandmates on stage at this point know when I'm talking. I've seen video footage of just them sitting down because they know that once I start talking on stage.
Well, wait, is there a story that I need to hear?
I mean, usually when I like, when the spirit starts talking, you know, and I start like,
don't blame the spirit.
I don't blame the spirit. Look, so every day on tour, I got worse last year because it was like, all right, we started out in the hot sun in West Virginia, and then it was like, all right, fine. And then by the time I got to play Murray Hill in Jacksonville, it was like, okay, these guys are literally just going to sit down and just while I talk because they know that I'm going to be talking for like 10, 15 minutes about God.
We don't know when it's going to end.
Yeah, we don't know when it's going to end. I could just like go on forever. And even then, sometimes when I talk, it's like, all right. Then I start adding jokes in and I'm like, my dad jokes come out and I look over at my husband. I'm like, this is what you did. So
does he like give you the evil eye and kind of run his finger across his throat?
He encourages it. You know, he's like over there. Like, we have a full performance of our last video in March in Kokomo. So A1M, who puts on KCF, actually puts on these events called the Danger Room, and we headlined that event. And there was that one point where I was just like talking, and you know, some things that I would say, like the guys would react to and kind of make fun of me or mock me on stage. We have that dynamic. I know, we just have that dynamic. Yeah. It's just being the only woman in the band, you know, it's just like, honestly, like, it's just like family. And we love each other very much as one family. As a family should. Because, yeah, you know, if I get woken up, you know, on the last day of tour after Chains Unchained Festival by anybody else throwing a mattress on me and pillows and sheets and then jumping on top of that mattress in a hotel room, I would rather not be a stranger.
So we have our standards.
Yeah, we have the standards. So that's the dynamic of the guys. That, you know, we always have to pick on each other, but we love each other. I mean, that's how it goes. So
that's great.
When you said dad joke, that reminded me. Now, you have a son, right?
Week before KCF, so June 11th, is his second birthday.
Aww.
Congrats. 2021, 5 days after he was born, I took him to KCF.
That's a good mama.
And then, like, I don't try to miss out on it. Like, I, you know, and then last year I broke my nose and
I remember that.
Did KCF. Like, I don't stay down, but
you're eating pudding with a broken nose.
I know. And it still tasted really good. Maybe this year I can smell it better.
Yeah. I will be bringing it. I might be making it there. Well, I'll see you there.
Yeah, see you there. It's good to talk to you. Thanks for having me on today.
Well, thank you. Appreciate you doing it, and I'll see you on the road.
All right, see you on the road. Talk to you later.
All right, bye-bye.
Thank you for listening. Stay tuned for more great music, and check out my blog page on the Solid Rock Radio website for my guests' social media links. If you've missed any of my past interviews, you can find them uploaded to podcast.solidrockradio.org. Have a wonderful week, and let's be kind to one another.